Marty, God bless you for coming back tonight. We're not eating, are we? Did I miss a word? Good to see y'all. All right, as you can see, or will see, what I'm going to talk about tonight is Jesus' statement, "I have chosen you." Now think about that. Jesus is looking at us. Just like we are, warts and all, failures, shortcomings, sins, all that. And he still says, "I have chosen you." Now, I told you this morning, I'm not a Calvinist. I've got good friends in the Calvinist denominations around us. But I think if God has made the choice of everybody that was going to be saved and everybody was going to be lost, thousands of millenniums before he created the earth, why would Jesus have to come then and die again? I believe when he says, "I have chosen you," he has chosen to give us an opportunity to enter his family. The decision is ours. I don't think God would save anyone against their choice. And I don't think anyone that he saved would be sorry he saved them. I believe with all of my heart that we have the freedom of choice to be what we want to be. Now, we're limited by many things in life, but we're not limited by the decision we make to follow Jesus. We make that, and we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will give an account for the decisions we made in life. So what I want to talk to you about is the statement of him choosing us and what that means to us. So look with me in the 15th chapter of John. Now, Jesus is wrapping up. You know, this is a very, very important chapter in the book of John. There's so much in there. But when he talks about family, joy, and love, he says this, beginning with the 15th verse. "I do not call you slaves." Now, the New Living Translation translates that slave word servants. And the Messenger translates it agents. Obviously not a slave in bondage. When he saves us, he doesn't put us in bondage. We don't walk around in shackles, but we are servants. So I like the translation servant much better, but I'm reading it for King James. "I do not call you slaves or servants or agents anymore, because as a slave, a slave doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything I heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you," remember that, "I appointed you that you should go out and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And if you do that, so whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." Now, this is not a name and claim. We fulfill all those other things before this happens. And when we ask the Father for something, it must be that which would be in keeping with what Jesus taught. God will never do something contrary to what Jesus taught. They're one and the same. So he has appointed us, he says. And then if we make these commitments to him, he says, then whatever you ask in my name, that means whatever will glorify him, glorify Jesus, magnify what he's done. He says, then if you ask that for that which will do that, I'll do it. I'll do it. So don't use this as name and claim, you know, Lord, I'm going to claim it in your name. So it's a means of choice. Life is full of choices. All of us have already made dozens of choices today. You chose what you were going to eat. It might not have been what you really wanted, but you chose what you wanted to eat. You chose what you put on to wear out here tonight. It was your choice. Nobody made that but you. You made that choice. You choose where you're going to study your scripture tonight or not. You will choose to go to bed and ignore God, or you will choose to use your devotional guide or your Bible or something, and you will study a little before you go to bed tonight. It's your choice, and we'll make it or not make it. We have choices on our jobs. We have choices with our families. We have a choice to be saved or not. First time that God told me I was lost, I wasn't saved. Matter of fact, it was almost 2 years before I really made it, but I knew from that night that what he had said to me. But my choice was to say no. As I told you the other day, if you went to First Baptist Church in Dothan, Alabama, you could probably find my fingernail clips in the back of that pew, because I was determined I wasn't going to move, and I didn't. Didn't move for 2 years, but then one day God just wore me down. I made a choice not to do it, and then when the final time came, I chose to do it. We choose our relationship with God. You choose where you're going to be saved or not. You choose where you're going to study His Word. You choose how much you're going to pray. You choose how much you're going to church. You choose how much you put in the offering plate. All of these are choices. And we make them every day, over and over and over. In Genesis 13:12, the Bible says, Abram lived in the land of Cana. But now, that story moves from Abraham now to Lot. But his nephew Lot lived in the cities of the valley, and he set up his tent, or as King James says, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. That was a bad choice. That was a bad choice. He could have stayed with Uncle Abraham. He could have stayed in the watered plains, but the Bible said he pitched his tent towards Sodom, and this means that he continued migrating towards Sodom until he became some kind of official down there. Some kind of official was down. By the time God destroyed him, he had got himself elected to some kind of official position. Now, did he win? We know the story of Lot. We know what happened. He made a choice to go to Sodom, and that choice cost him his wife, his two son-in-laws, everything he owned, and the position he held in the city. It was a bad choice. It was a bad choice, and we make choices. We make choices. You know, all of us have made similar choices. I'll bet you that if I was a betting man, that every one of us can remember some bad choices. Can't we? We can remember some bad choices. It might have been a financial choice. It might have been a choice of a spouse. It might have been a choice of a job. It might have been a choice, any kind of. We can remember choices that we had that we wish we could make them again. We've all made choices. Now, let me go over some of them with you. The bad ones first. Let's think of David. David, after God's own heart, this great warrior and this great poet or songwriter, this man that now has ascended to the throne, this man that could have anything that he wanted, and one day he was tempted and he made a decision. He made a decision to take another man's wife. He took the man's wife. She became pregnant. He had the husband murdered, and it looked like he got away with it. That was his choice. His choice was adultery. His choice was murder. But let me just go over some of his children with you. Now, he thought he got away with it. But there came a time a few years later when his children were grown. And by the way, he had 10, 11, or 12 children, but the only one we know by name are those that got into trouble. Sometime along the line, his son named Amnon raped his half-sister, Tamar. And she was willing to stay with him, and he threw her out after that act. She had a brother named Absalom. Absalom waited his time, and he killed his brother, Amnon. Killed his brother. Now, he went into exile and finally came back, was restored, and then he rebelled against his own father and ran his father out of town. You can read it all in the scripture. He ran his father had to leave Jerusalem and flee for his life. In the war that followed that, Absalom's head was caught in a tree, and Joab killed him for what he had done. Joab killed David's son. Now, Absalom's brother was named Adonijah, and he decided that he wanted the throne. And when David was trying to turn it over to Solomon, Adonijah got him 250 people and declared himself to be the king. Declared himself to be the king. David was still living, had not turned it over to Solomon totally. Nathan went down and said, if you want Solomon to be the king, you got to act right now. And so what? So this man was killed. This son was killed. Adonijah was killed. Now, after all of this happened, a third son asked for David's concubine. And Solomon said to his mother, if you give him Abishag, you have given him the kingdom. And Joab had him killed. Now, look at all the killings I just mentioned. Do you know that all of that, I believe, went back to that time that David was strolling up on the top of the city, on the top of the temple, castle that he lived in, and he looked down and saw this lady taking a shower. Watch out what decision you make. Because look at what it cost David. Look at what it cost David to make a bad decision. And let's think of Sarah. Sarah was Abraham's wife, and for reasons known only to God, she was not able to conceive. And she made the mistake of running ahead of God. Now, none of you have ever run ahead of God and helped God. So she decided to help God. So in order that they would have an heir, in order that that Abraham would have someone that he could pass his kingdom on, his estate on to, she decided to give him her servant, who was not a Jew. And that servant conceived. And that servant bore a son. And that son's name was Ishmael. And Ishmael was the first Arab. And the Bible says that the name he gave him meant a wild animal, or a wild mule, if you will. Now, about 6,000 years later, I don't think that's changed, do you? I don't think that. Now, God had a plan, and later, when she was 90, she did conceive and have a baby. But she helped God, but she made a bad decision, and 6,000 years later, we still have the same problem that she made. Bad decision. What about Moses? God used Moses to bring the Hebrews out of the out of Egypt toward the promised land. During that time, they were wandering out there in the wilderness. Just before they got the chance to cross into the promised land, it was dry again, and God told Moses to go and speak to the rock. Now, there was two times that the rock gave water. This is the second time. The first time, he told him to bring that staff that you threw down, and the sea parted. You bring that with you. And so when he went in and he struck the rock. Now, the time I'm talking about, just before they cross over now, and at this time it looks like Moses is going to go over and lead them over like he's led them along. God said, go and speak to that rock, and it'll give the water that they need. So, now, that's what God said. But what did Moses do? He took that same staff, and he did what God didn't say do. He hit the rock. And by the way, the rock did give the water. It did give the water. But God said, not you, Moses. You're not going to the promised land. Your mistake is going to cost you the opportunity to live in, put your feet in the promised land. Bad decision. Bad decision. Poor decision, if you will. Or think of Achan. Achan was one of the soldiers that went over when they went to capture the Holy Land. Jericho was standing right there. It was a fortified city, had high walls, and it was well defended. And Joshua led them to march around it every day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, they marched around it 7 times. They shouted, the walls fell, and they went in and totally destroyed the city. Achan, one of the soldiers. Now, Joshua had said, we're not taking anything out of there. We're not taking anything that's of any value. This is going to be dedicated to God. We're going to destroy it like it's on the altar, and it'll be destroyed and given to God. Everybody did what God said except one man. His name was Achan. Now, I don't know what other temptations that we go through, but Achan's temptation came out when he saw gold and silver and a beautiful Babylonian uniform, I'll call it. Bible says robe. A beautiful robe and the gold and silver. He snuck it back. Being the Baptist that he was, he snuck it back and he buried it. The next day they went out to fight Ai. Ai was not a great city. It did have walls. It wasn't defended like Jericho was, and so he just sent a small contingent out there, and 33 of God's soldiers died that day. Joshua knew something was wrong, and they did the casting of the lots, and it kept falling down, and it got down on Achan, Joshua asked Achan what he had done, and Achan confessed. He said, "I saw, I coveted, I took, and I hid." Isn't that the story of sin? We see it, we covet it, we take it, and then we hide it so no one else will see it, we think. God saw it. God saw it. And the next day, those 33 people died. Now, for that decision, when he had to confess that before all the people, as he stood there, the earth opened up. It would have been what we would call like an earthquake. The earth just split open, and Mr. and Ms. Achan and their children and everything they owned went down in it, and the earth closed back. A bad decision cost 33 lives, cost this family and everything they had. Be careful with the decisions we make, because this is what happens. Think of Samson with me. Samson was one of the judges. Samson was born to be a judge in the time of the judges. He was this awesomely developed human being. He was a Mr. America of his time, or Mr. Universe of his time. But he had a little problem with other women. You know, he did not choose a girlfriend or a spouse from his own race. He went over to the pagans, and he met a lady named Delilah. You never heard of her, have you? He met a lady. When I see Delilah, I think of somebody that looked like Wonder Woman. I could go further than that, but y'all get me, don't you? All right, he met this gorgeous pagan. Had this affair. She gave him a haircut. Free. Free. This man who had been born to be a judge and who had all this skill and ability that God was willing to give him died blinded, pulling a mill, and finally pushing down the great auditorium that they were in and died. All because he made one decision. When he started with Deborah, it wasn't going to end that way, but it did. He pitched his tent towards Sodom, so to speak. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. I think I have one more here. Oh, yeah, I want to tell you about one that you're very familiar with. There was a man that walked with Jesus for 3 years. Saw him heal the sick, restore the blind. Saw him feed 5,000 with a little boy's lunch. Saw him still a storm. Saw him walk on the water. Saw him do all of that. And he made a decision, too. He made a decision to betray Jesus. Did he win? No. He lost. He lost. See, there are consequences to pitching our tent towards Sodom. I've been around a few years. Y'all didn't know that, did you? My children have flooded the Facebook with pictures, but it's Veterans Day, and they got different pictures of my whole military career in there. I finally sent them a note, and I said, "Stop that. You're showing my age. I'm telling all them widow women I'm only 60. And my daughter sent me one back, and she said, "The last picture I got is you in that womanless wedding, you in that dress." So I shut up. Let's go back to Sodom. You start towards Sodom and you lose. I've been here about 7 years. I see some people that were here when I came that have gradually, they went to Sodom. Now, maybe nothing great, tremendous happened to them, but they're not where they were when I came. You know, you can pitch your tent towards Sodom. You don't really mean to go there. It's not in your intention to go there. But when you start pitching the tent that way, that's where you go. That's where you go. See, there's no reversing it. Lot didn't just run down there the first day and say, "Hey, I want to live here." He went down there peace at the time. You know, quit reading your Bible. Quit coming to church on Wednesday night. Quit praying. Quit coming to church on Sunday morning. Quit coming on Sunday night, and pretty soon, you're in Sodom. Are you going to win? Nobody ever went to Sodom and won. Nobody ever went to Sodom and won. By the way, I do have 3 points, but my introduction is a whole lot longer than my 3 points. So don't let that worry you. When Martha complained to Jesus about her sister's decision, Jesus said, "Hers is better than yours." You remember that story? Jesus said, "Mary has made the right choice." This is Luke 10:42. "Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her." And I asked myself the question, what kind of decisions have I made today? What kind of decisions will I make tomorrow when I switch roles and become an employee at a college? You know, Joshua said something when they got to the promised land. I preached on this 3 or 4 Sunday nights ago. When they got into the promised land and they had that land given to them, and the mills were there and the cities were there, the herds were there, the groves were there, everything was there you could ask for. And he saw the folks that we ran out left their pagan gods. Every hill had an Asherah pole on the top of it. And Joshua knew that this was such a great temptation. And he said to them, and I spoke on this a couple of Sunday nights ago, he said, "Now, folks, you better choose for yourselves today, the one you're going to worship. Because you're living in a pagan land. You're living where there's a lot of temptations. You're living where you better decide today where you're going to pitch your tent." Jesus made a choice too. Jesus made a choice too. Thank God he chose us. Thank God he chose Calvary and got us. Now, there's a lot of men in the Bible, women in the Bible, made the right choice. Think of the Apostle Paul. Think of this man who was an early person trying to put the early church out of business. He persecuted the church with everything he had. He was there holding a garden of coats when Stephen was killed. But you know, this man made a choice one day and became the world's first great missionary. The first great, from a prosecutor of the church, from one who was doing all he could to put these people away, became the first great Christian missionary. He made a choice. He made a choice. He did not have to do it. He made a choice to do it. And look at what he did. You know, I think of Mark. Mark shows up in the Bible in 3 or 4 places. Mark is probably the young man the night that Jesus was arrested, that they tried to grab him, and he had been to the bathhouse and had his bath, and he just had this cloth around him, and they decided to grab him too, and they grabbed and got his clothes, and he went home naked. Well, the next time he shows up, he goes up, and he's going to go on a mission trip. By the way, his mother had one of the early churches in her house. He's going to go on a mission trip from Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. And he made the first couple of calls, and then he made a decision. "I'm not cut out for this. I don't want to do this." And he went back to Jerusalem. Over that, the division came between Paul and Barnabas. They had to go separate ways, and Paul then chose Silas to go with him. Do you know, in the years that followed, he kind of recreated himself, Mark did, to the point that Paul sends for him, and he says, "I need him, I need him, I need him." And he came and to work with Paul before Paul's death. And after Paul and Peter died, he wrote the book of Mark for us. So he went from a quitter to writing the book of Mark. Now, that's making the right decision, isn't it? That's making the right decision. He made a right decision. What about Matthew? Matthew had a great job. One of the most lucrative jobs in Israel at the time of Jesus was collecting Roman taxes from the Jews. Now, they were hated by the Jews, but, I mean, that was a good way to get wealthy. And you can see Matthew, the Bible says he was sitting at the tax collector's table, and Jesus walked by, stopped, looked at him, and said, "Come on, go with me." He made a decision, didn't he? He made a decision and became one of the 12. his decision to leave a lucrative job and follow Jesus rewarded him by becoming one of the 12. One of the 12. He left the job of collecting those Roman taxes from the Jews and was given this position that we always remember his name. And he too wrote one of the Gospels for us. He wrote one of the Gospels for us. And there's a man named Bartimaeus, born blind, beggar, sitting by the road. And Jesus is coming by, and he made a decision too, didn't he? Bartimaeus made a decision to call out and ask Jesus. Now, you remember the whole story is when he was trying to call out, people were trying to shush him, you know. Don't bother the teacher. Don't bother him. Be quiet. But he kept yelling until Jesus said, come over. And he came over, and he said to Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? Now, it's decision time. He could have said, Lord, I hadn't done well today. I'd like my cup full of coins, or I might like a new robe. He got exactly what he asked for. He made a decision to ask Jesus for his sight, and God gave it to him. God gave it to him. And there was one more tax collector, and you remember him. He's a short guy. You know, Jesus is coming now. He's on his way to Jerusalem, by the way, where ultimately in about 10 days he's going to be crucified. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and the short guy, the tax collector, just like Matthew, only he was collecting in another place, he goes and climbs up a tree so he can see this famous man that's going about to pass by. And when Jesus got up under the tree, you know the story. He said, come on down, Zacchaeus, I'm going to have lunch at your house. He made a decision. And the wonderful thing about it is when you read that in the scripture, it says when Jesus went to his house, him and all his household were saved and baptized. One decision. One decision. One decision. Now, there's a lady in the Bible named Mary Magdalene that the scriptures three times says that the demons were cast out of her, but that incident itself is not in the Bible. It's one of those things that the authors of the scriptures left out, but it's referred to three times, which means it happened. She made a decision one day. She was demon possessed. Now, it's not here for us to read, so there's no way we can look in here and find it, but she made a decision and Jesus cast the demons out of her. And she was the first one to see Jesus when he was resurrected. Decisions. You make them all the time. I make them all the time. The ones that we have to account for are those that affect our Lord. I've shown you some good ones. I've shown you some terrible ones. There are consequences on both sides. There are good consequences for good decisions, and there are bad consequences for bad decisions. So let me give you three quick points. Number one, since Jesus has chosen us, the Bible says, Matthew 3:10, test me. Test me. The only time in the Bible we're told we can test him. He says, test me in this, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. Now, we always preach on that as if it was money. No, it's for anything. For anything. He says, if you'll make a decision and try me, if you'll make a decision and trust me, the reward for that is so great, the Bible says, that you won't even be able to store all that I'll give you. Now, is that true? God said it was. That is true, my friend. He said, see, if you'll trust me and try me, you'll see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven. It may be health. It may be prosperity. It may be large family. It may be love. It may be all of those things. But he says, I'll give you so much, you won't have a place to put it. It'll be without measure. Now, with a promise like that from God, who would want to be Lot? Who'd want to go to Sodom if God said this for us? What a promise like that, who would want to turn their back on this? Who would not want to pray at night? Who would not want to study their Bible? Who would not want to be in church? Who would not want to give to God? Try out giving God sometimes. He's willing to play for you to test him. Listen, Jesus said in Luke 12:32, your Father delights to give you the kingdom. Not starve you to death spiritually. He says the Father has a great deal of delight in being able to give you the kingdom. Just try me, touch me, test me, he says. It makes God feel good to bless you. You believe that? All right, I'm going to count three, and I want you to say, bless me, Lord. One, two, three. Bless me, Lord. Let's do it again. Bless me, Lord. You mean that? He's willing. He's willing. My second point, since Jesus has chosen us, the Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know what I like about this? It doesn't matter whether you think he's here tonight or not. He is. It doesn't matter where you can feel him tonight or not. He's here. It doesn't matter where you believe it or not. It won't change anything. He is here. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He is just that close to us tonight. Just that close to us tonight. We know Romans 8:28 said, this is only for believers. This is only for believers. This is for people that don't go toward Sodom. In Romans 8:28, Paul says, we know. You know this verse before I read it. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. Those who are called according to his purpose are those who make decisions to live according to his purpose for us. God doesn't make promises he doesn't keep. God never makes a promise that he doesn't keep. He never has, and he never will. If he made a promise, you can put it in the bank. You may not understand how he answers it, but he will. My third point, since Jesus has chosen us, the Bible says in John 14:3, I will come back and receive you to myself. What Jesus chooses, he comes back for. He chose you. He chose us. And he's coming back to claim us if we make the choice of becoming a part of his family. What Jesus chooses, he's going to take to heaven. What he chooses, he's going to live with eternally. You know, Ephesians 1:4 says a very short statement. It means so much. Ephesians 1:4 says, for he has chosen us in him. You know what that means? He has made us a part of his family. That we become joint heirs with Jesus, which means he becomes our half-brother and not some figure in the Bible. We become part of God's family. If I understand heaven, heaven is going to be a huge family relationship. God will be the Father there, as he is right now. But this verse tells me that he chooses us into his family. He makes us into his family when we make the choices. So let me conclude with just three sentences. Three sentences, and that's all. Lot made a choice. And all those other bad choices that I mentioned. For bad choices, there are consequences. He made a bad choice. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and made a great choice. And for great choices, there are consequences. But we make our choice every day. We make our choice every day. We have to try to make choices on the basis of what would Jesus do. Now, I know we can't, if you're going to put on a shirt tomorrow morning, you don't say, I got three shirts here, which one would Jesus put on? Not that kind of stuff. But I mean, the decisions we make tomorrow can be made on the basis of what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? You know, there's a great book written on that about a century ago, on what would Jesus do? Make your decisions on that, because there are consequences to every decision you'll make tonight and tomorrow. The decisions you make before you go to bed, and the decisions you make all day tomorrow, and the decisions you make till that day that you hear a trumpet sound, and suddenly you ain't here anymore. You're going to meet him in the air. God bless you for being here tonight. I believe it's business.